We've talked about rest. It's going to be a theme for years to come. Because this is where He wants us to be. In rest is more accomplishment with less work than we've ever done before. And so on a practical basis, I was going, what does rest look like? So it's not just a theological topic. So it's not just something that we hope for. Something that we want to see happen. And somehow or another, magically, it happens. And so for the last long time, several months, I've been trying to come up with practical steps for me, how I learned to rest. And these are the steps up here. And we're going to hit them at a high level today, and we'll go deeper in the week or two or three ahead whenever the Holy Spirit gets off the topic. So these are things I've been doing. It's an acronym for rest, as you see, R-E-S-T. These are things I have practically been doing, and it's helped me to enter rest. When I first started this, there were different words, and then I modified it. So I'm going to pass them on to you in case it helps you. And these are things I do when I start realizing I'm not walking in rest. I'm walking in fear. I'm walking in anxiety or whatever may come out of this. So these things are helping me. I'm going to give verses for all of these, but it's not like you're going to find these four steps in the Bible. But they helped me. I saw recently, has anybody seen Dune 2, the movie Dune 2? Me and Israel went to it. So you're the only one. So there's the hero of Dune, especially Dune 2, is a guy. His character name is Paul Atreides. And this is a sci-fi book. I read Dune. There's like five novels. 15 years ago, and so they've put them in, you know, it's nothing biblical about the movie itself. But if you watch, the hero is a guy named Paul Atreides, he's in his 20s, and he's thrust into power. And he's thrust into conflict and conquering a world where he's the minority, not racial minority, but he's the persecuted. And to save his life and the tribe that he's in. This guy, at the end of the movie, I'm like, I want to be like him in this sense. No matter, he was in many, many stressful situations. So, you know, if you don't like intellectual sci-fi, you won't like the movie. But this was a great example of a guy who's like, I want to be like that. He was in a lot of stressful situations. I'm talking about stressful people trying to kill him. Okay, try to take his life. And he never once, I need to watch the movie a second time from memory. He never lost his cool. He never responded emotionally. He would always pause. He never had any facial expressions. I'm not saying all of this is good. But he was always in total control. He responded when he wanted to respond. And it was usually with words of wisdom. He refused to allow the circumstances to push him out of control, or allow the circumstances to push him in a direction he didn't want to go, or allow circumstances to create emotions in him that came to the surface. And there's nothing wrong with emotions, but the point was, I'm like, that is somebody that is at rest, at peace with himself. And so that's my goal of rest. But the difference is I'm totally in control, or totally controlled and totally manipulated in a good way by Holy Spirit, where I don't respond, I react. I don't react, I respond by the Holy Spirit. And I think there's some things here that He's wanting to give us as warriors, as the bride of Christ, that Paul Atreides of this movie was always in conflict, but it never allowed him to push him beyond where he was supposed to be. And how many of us can say last 5 years, well, for me, I was thinking about this afternoon, when did my opportunity for stress level to go through the roof? It doesn't matter the details, but it started 5 years ago in earnest with a lot of different circumstances since then. 2.5 years ago, being in the hospital for 9 days, many multiple events. For me, it was five. And it's really, I don't know if it's gotten intense, but it's been intense for 5 years. a lot more than the 15 before that. And so I'm thinking, Lord, what is going on? And a lot of this was not my choosing, the stressful situations. A lot of this was not what I wanted to see happen. A lot of it was, most of it, maybe close to 100% of it was beyond my control. But it still happened. And as I look back, sometimes I responded well by doing like what I said in the example, and sometimes I didn't. And as it's gone through the last 5 years, it's gotten better and better. So I don't react. I pause and respond. And I'm like, Lord, is this a byproduct of learning to rest in Him no matter what happens? And I think the answer is yes. But this is the challenge. I wouldn't have grown in these areas without all of these challenges. And so I don't know if you're one that's had more challenges in the last few months or few years than normal. I'm not, most of what I went through I don't think was God, but it still happened because man has a free will. And so you are connected with these men, daughters, parents, friends, and so you have to walk through with them. And so I'm learning a lot of, and it goes against some teachings of the charismatic church, but I'm learning a lot of these circumstances are opportunities for Him to show where I am out of sync with Him. Rest, listen to this definition, is coming, or I put it down, rest is coming into sync with God's presence. When you're not at rest, you're out of sync with Him. Now, I'm not saying salvation, but sync. The Holy Spirit is never out of rest. Jesus was never out of rest. The Holy Spirit's very busy. Jesus was very busy at times on earth. I'm not talking about busyness, but in His entire time, He was in sync with the Father. He's walking across Lake Galilee, and He gets in the boat. The people are freaking out. He didn't freak out. He rebuked them for freaking out, saying, "Where is your faith?" He just spoke to the wind and told it to shut up in so many words. He was nicer and said, "Be calm." And no, He's going up against a man with a legion of demons in him. He didn't get upset. He didn't get freaked out. He didn't scream and holler. As you go back, He said one sentence and it was done. So, I mean, He's surrounded with these things. And we've read this verse many times, Hebrews 4:11. "Let us therefore be zealous and exert ourselves and strive diligently to enter that rest." And this is in the Amplified, so this is in brackets. "Of God, to know and experience it for ourselves, so that no one may fall or perish by the same kind of unbelief and disobedience." I don't quite have that last part worked out, but it's strange. You got to work to enter into rest. When these circumstances are coming, disappointments are coming, almost always the opportunities for rest is because our expectations do not line up with what's happening. And so we have to deal with expectations. If things are coming our way, it's all cotton candy and funnel cakes and unicorns and rainbows. We don't have to rest. Life is good until we get sick from diabetes 1. But you get the point. But it's when these other things come, we have to labor into rest. And so my heart for you, my heart for me, every week, every month, myself and you, we get more to the place where we're not reacting, we're responding by the Holy Spirit. And so, so as we're going through the week and we feel this anxiety come on us, we feel this fear of the future. I don't sense it in this church, but we were talking about it earlier. So many Christians on the prophetic side are scared out of their brains right now because of what's going to happen tomorrow. Give me a break. I'm not saying God's not going to move through the solar eclipse, but if you're afraid, you're out of sync with His presence. Amen. Because Jesus is not scared of the solar eclipse. I don't know what's going to happen. Maybe there's an earthquake on the Las Madras fault. I don't know. But whatever happens, He can get us to a place we can walk through that with rest because He's walking through it perfectly in sync with Himself and rest. And so, whatever is going on around us, He is doing it to see your circumstances. I'm not saying they're from God, but see your circumstances as opportunities to grow and get victory over it, or else it can haunt you for a long time. So I wrote down these four things at a real high level. First, release. Release your concerns. We'll come back to it. Enjoy the moment. And I'll talk about why I put these things down. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And then last, trust in God. And so when I'm getting stressed out about something, I think of first, or in releasing, I think about 1 Peter 5:7. And I walk through these things. I walked through it a couple different times last week. I'll sit down and go, it says, 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. When you find yourself anxious, this is what you got to say to yourself. Holy Spirit is not anxious. Why am I? You may get the answer. You may not get the answer. But what I do is I sit down and go, Holy Spirit, Jesus, Father, whoever, you can just pray to them. They'll get it straightened out where the prayers go. And just say, Holy Spirit, right now, I am not liking where I'm at. I don't see how I'm going to come out of this. I don't like what's going on. Whatever it is, release it. And this is what I say. I surrender to You my concerns. Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Often we go to prayer looking for an answer or an understanding of what's going on. This is, if you take away this tonight, I've got to get a cough drop, I'm going to start coughing. If you take away anything tonight, remember this. He almost always, in the short term, I got a drink over here. He almost always, in the short term, never tells you why something's happening or what's going on. Well, that doesn't seem fair. Well, tell that to God. See what He says. I don't know. The thing is, He's looking to see if you'll trust the last thing up there. Trust in Him or trust in your own understanding. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. He breaks us of understanding. Usually long, and I hope this sets you free even if it concerns you. Because your mind just doesn't like it. My mind doesn't like it. He will break you free of understanding before you understand. And you often, sometimes never understand, but usually. But it's often way after the fact and you go, oh, this is what's going on. Or this is what's happening. But He's wanting to see if you will trust in Him when it doesn't make sense. Because what you're doing then is you're not trusting in your mind or a plan or an outcome. You're truly trusting in God. I like this verse, Isaiah 30:15. This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. In repentance, this thing works. I'm looking into the microphone. Huh? Yeah, maybe voices somehow or another talking into this. In repentance and rest. Write down Isaiah 30:15. Memorize this. In repentance and rest is your salvation. So what are you doing with release? I almost made the word repentance, and you could probably, it might be better in some circumstances. But what you do is, when you're anxious, is go to the Lord and say, I am sorry. I surrender. I repent of making these things too big. I repent of worry. I repent of anxiety. Surrender your concerns to Him. Now, this is not easy. And so what I have to do regularly when I'm here, and sometimes it takes 2 minutes, sometimes it takes 2 days. I keep praying and going, Father, I release this to You. And when it comes back and I'm anxious again, Father, I release this to You. I surrender. In my mind, I even picture myself bending my knee in repentance. In repentance and rest is your strength, is your salvation. Keep saying it over and over and giving it to Him over and over again until you're free from the torment that your brain, the demon, your spouse, your kid, your employer, wherever it's coming from. Well, Craig, I may be here for 2 weeks. We'll be there for 2 weeks. Keep repenting, keep releasing until your mind gives up, until you wear out your mind. Now, what's important to understand is we're not pretending that these things aren't going on. We're not pretending that these things didn't happen. What we're doing in our prayers of releasing is coming to the Lord with them to bring Him into the middle of it so that it can be turned into a place of strength and healing. Because when you're anxious and when you're worried, it's real simple. This is no heavy revelation. We're not handling it and it's overcoming us. So we need to bring the Holy Spirit into us, into the middle of this thing. And because we need His power, we need His patience, whatever we need, love, self-control. There's 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's probably even more than that. Is to bring Him into our hurt, into our loss, into our concerns, so that He, and what it does, it gives Him permission to start working on your behalf because you said, I have surrendered myself to You. I am relying on You and not me. And from that point of surrender, you are like a seed being put in the ground, like we were talking about in prophetic gathering. It's dying. You're not even we expect God to move, but we're not expecting Him to move how and when we want Him to. Have you ever noticed He usually doesn't move how and when you want Him to? Very rarely. It's really frustrating. Because I really think I have some good ideas sometimes. They may be good ideas, but He didn't like them enough to do them. And so, one of the things that really helps me in this is worship. We talked about this in prophetic gathering a few weeks back. So if you were there, hopefully it won't be too boring. But worship tends to bring your affections to God, your emotions, your heart to God, and tends to leave your mind behind. Sometimes your emotions is what's driving you if you've been hurt, betrayed, stabbed in the back, rejected. But there's always a huge mental component to it, too, usually, where they did this, or they did that, or this didn't happen. Do you realize how many people, probably the majority of them, in my lifetime of following God and being a minister for decades, the number one reason I have found people don't follow God is not because of immoral sin. It's because something happened that they couldn't believe God would allow it to happen, or something didn't happen that they thought would happen. We almost always fall away because of expectations. This is a big deal. We have to deal with expectations. I want that to sink in. Lord, where do I go from here? Dealing with just leave it at that. Can easily move into disappointment and then blaming God. And in the end, He never promised those things to us in that way and in that time. We just assumed that's how He would move. And when we didn't, we get mad at Him. The number one thing I found why people move away from God is they blame God, but they never blame God because they don't want to blame God. That's pretty serious. They blame the people and the circumstances around them. It's a very dangerous path. The better thing to do is when you have anxiety, false expectations, disappointments, is to release them and give them to Him and say, I do not understand, and that's a plus. And I'm still willing to follow You. You're still a good God, even if I can't see it. Put your proverbial knee to the floor and release it and stay there until you start to feel a release. This is a big deal. People want to understand before they move on. It's rare. I'm just telling you, it's rare. If you're wanting to understand, He probably won't move because He wants to see if you'll follow Him without understanding. Because if you have to understand before you move, what you're saying is, I have to agree with what you're doing. That's a big mature topic right there. Am I telling the truth?
Yep.
I'm not moving on until you convince me you're God and you're doing right. That's the way I am. Maybe you're not that way. And so just keep releasing this to Him. And so, as I talked about a few weeks ago, Derek Prince said 40 years ago, if you only have 10 minutes to pray, take 7 or 8 of them to worship. So if you're in this place, it's okay to pray, and we need to pray, just like what I just said. But spend some time worshiping, even if you don't like Him at the moment. Even if you don't like what He's doing. What you're saying to your soul, and anybody that's watching in the demonic world, I'm still following Him because I am a bondservant of the Most High God. I choose to follow Him no matter what. And if you start worshiping Him, it starts bringing Him and His presence into your world. Then when it's time to pray, you only usually have to pray a minute or two because you have felt His heart. And when you have felt His heart, you know it's going to be all right. When you have felt His heart, you know He's on your side. When you have felt His heart, you have known that it's going to be okay. And I've had Christians say, well, I've never felt His heart. And so I'm nicer than this, but for this purpose of this talk, what that tells me, you've never worshiped Him. It's okay. It's time to start. Because when you worship Him, it brings Him in and it bypasses your soul and goes spirit to spirit. And you go, I don't understand. I don't know where I'm going to go. All right. And you exit in peace and rest. Worship gets you in touch with His heart. We'll talk about enjoy just a minute, then we'll continue it 2 weeks. We'll open up for questions. So the second one is when you release it. Now this is hard. At least it is for me, not for you. Is to enjoy moment. God's goal is not to get you to do stuff. God's goal is ask you to do stuff. Matthew 6:34. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. You know, that sounds so cool. We've heard that all our lives. Does Craig actually follow this? Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will care for itself. I've already got my to-do list done for the next 7 days. I do that every Sunday. It gives me peace. It helps me to prioritize stuff. And some of that yet, okay? I'm not worried. It's just, okay, I got 168 hours. How am I going to use this thing? I'm not just thinking about tomorrow. I'm thinking about the next 6 days. There's something about rest where we need to learn to start developing awe, A-W-E, and wonder. Now, this takes a million ways. Somebody, I don't remember where it was. I've been in two meetings today. So whichever meeting it was, somebody said, you know, the Lord's in the details more than we remember, more than we realize. Yes, He's going to have us do stuff. Yes, we're going to do different things. But you know, He's really not in a hurry. We are. And so when you release your concerns to the Lord and work through that, just sit and enjoy the presence of God. Enjoy the release. Look around. I eat a lot of meals by myself. Some people think that's weird. I actually like it because I'm by myself and I can get work done. So you extrovert people, do not feel sorry for me. They always come up after me. Is it all right? I feel sorry. No, I love it. Is anybody else that way, or am I the only one? And so usually I'm writing a message or blog or whatever, just details. And the Lord recently, I don't think it's going to be forever, recently said, have you ever thought about just going and eating and not doing anything? And I'm like, that's stressful. That's pathetic, isn't it? I don't do it every meal, but I do it a lot. And I said, Lord, why am I sitting? He said, just start looking around. Watch people. Look at things. I'm going to go into all the details. And I'm starting to see some really fascinating stuff. And it's starting to create a little bit of awe and wonder how God created people. Some of the best thoughts I get is just sitting there and watching us do stupid stuff. And then sometimes I'm at a window so I can look out. See, that's enjoying the moment, and it's restful. I'm not getting to the place, oh, I've got 15 minutes. What can I cram in here? And He's not in a hurry, and so why am I in a hurry? I don't know. I'm still working on that one. So enjoy the moment. Let me say this. I told you I'd end, but in the sensitive and the spirit would come back. But on trust in the Lord, this is one thing He's shown me as a trigger point, two trigger points. You know what trigger points are? Something happens and you realize my fruit is not great. So what triggered me? So one thing He's showing me, every time I complain, it's the opposite of rest. Because I'm fighting and I'm complaining about where I'm at. And unless I really did something stupid and got myself there, and even then, I need to release it to Him and repent. And so the Father showed me, He says, every time you're complaining, you're getting out of sync with me. Now, is anybody like you? I do this several times a day. I'll complain, even little things here and there. And the Lord's starting to really work on this. And complaining reveals in me that my circumstances are bigger than what I think He can do. And He also showed this to me. Now, this hurts. Maybe it doesn't fit anybody else. Complaining reveals to me where I'm trying to make myself the center. Oh, look at me, the victim. He's really got it bad. And so what the Lord's showing me, He says, whenever you complain, come back to me because you're losing the battle over your thoughts. That's intense, isn't it? Because if you're worshiping Him, if you're released to Him, you're praying to Him, you don't usually come out of those times complaining. You come out of them with a more peace, more rest, more fruit. And so the Lord is showing me complaining is showing me how out of sync I am with His presence. And so when something doesn't go my way, I'll save the second trigger point for next week. We've been here long enough. When I start doing that, I'm like, Lord, okay, what am I doing here? Sometimes He's going, you're just trying to get attention. That's never fun, but if He says it, I probably am. I could argue with Him, but in the end, you notice God never argues. Have you ever had Him tell you something that was a correction? And I always, not always, I'm getting better, but often come back and sort of question Him. At least with me, He never says it again. He's like, my yes is yes, my no is no. I ain't changing my mind. And you ain't talking me out of it. Am I the only one? And so, if He says something, I'm getting better now after decades of walking with Him. Okay, just shut up. Even if you don't agree, you'll see it in a few minutes. And then He shows me where I'm complaining, and sometimes it's like, oh, I can't believe I'm going to all this again. And what is that saying? I'm not in sync with Him. If I'm walking with Him, He's going to be big enough to get me through it because He says I'll never leave you or forsake you. So I'll be going along with you. This heavy stuff, isn't it? But it'll change your life. And Paul Atreides is a fictional character from Dune 2 that I started this off with. But if you ever watch it, I'm like, dude, I think that's how Jesus went through circumstances. His emotions never got out of control. He responded, and I want us to be the same way. I want me to be the same way. Let's stand. We'll just pray over you. And so, Father, I just thank You for this group of people. I thank You for this these warriors. I thank You for these people that we're on a journey into Your face and on a journey heart to heart with You and face to face with You. And Lord, help me be transparent to them, vice versa. Help us to encourage each other, vice versa. And most of all, we want to see You. And we want to walk with You in a conscious presence that we never forget. In Jesus' name, amen.